This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
U.S. President Trump is turning up the heat on Brussels when it comes to trade discussion. He's set on taking down some trade barriers to the so-called chlorine chicken, GMO crops, and other U.S. products that don't fit into the European Union's strict food safety standards. The two sides are still stuck on agriculture, which isn't helping the talks that have struggled to get off the ground since 2018. Each side has been talking up the potential of a deal ahead in the coming weeks or months. EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan has said recently he's aiming for a mini-agreement as soon as March 18th. U.S. officials have long been unhappy with the EU policy that tightly controls agricultural tools like pesticide. Hogan notes that the U.S. rules currently block sales of European apples and pears, so there is an opening for regulatory trade-offs on both sides of the Atlantic. Politico says the U.S. is an agricultural powerhouse that has seen its share of the EU market shrink steadily for decades. The trade deficit with the European Union topped $2 billion in 1989 and has evolved into a $15 billion deficit last year in 2019. President Trump is leaving India without a trade deal in place as he was hoping for. The U.S. president was looking to expand access to the massive market for U.S. dairy goods and other products like motorcycles and medical devices. India currently has tariffs on American farm goods at an average rate of 32.8%. And if that's not enough, India has 100% tariffs on raisins and coffee, as well as 150% on alcoholic beverages. For the second time since last September, when India's prime minister visited the U.S., the two sides failed to reach an even limited mini-trade deal, which would increase trade on focus groups of goods, which would include dairy products. The New York Times says negotiators have worked since 2018 on a deal that would lower India's barriers to some American products, as well as restore India's access to a program that allows goods to either to enter the U.S. tariff-free. The U.S.-India Business Council released a statement that says, quote, both sides are turned into their own political imperatives and not where the either side might have an area of accommodation. That makes it harder to find where the common ground is and where a deal could be struck, unquote. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer announced that China has taken numerous actions to begin implementing its agricultural-related commitments in the Phase 1 trade deal. The countries first entered into the landmark agreement back on Valentine's Day, the 14th. China's actions toward implementing the deal include signing a protocol that allows the importation of fresh U.S. chipping potatoes. They've lifted the ban on imports of U.S. poultry and poultry products, including pet food that contains poultry. China has lifted restrictions on imports of U.S. pet food that contains ruminant material as well. They've also updated lists of facilities approved for exporting animal protein, pet food, dairy infant formula, and tallow for industry use to China. The Chinese government has also an updated list of products that can be exported to China as feed additives. Additionally, China has begun announcing tariff exclusions for import of U.S. ag products subject to its retaliatory tariffs, and it announced a reduction in those retaliatory tariff rates on certain U.S. ag goods. Lighthizer says, quote, we're already seeing the positive results just a month after the signing of the agreement with China. We will work to ensure the agreement is strictly enforced for the benefit of our workers, farmers, ranchers, and businesses, unquote. It's tax season here in the U.S., and farmer cooperatives are still seeking to have Section 199A returned to the way tax deductions worked before the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act was passed. Rocky Weber, president and general counsel of the Nebraska Cooperative Council, says when the cooperatives and non-cooperatives sat down with legislators to fix the 199A deduction back in 2018, they thought the language was clear and the tax would revert to its previous form. That was until the Treasury Department began drafting the legislation.
It's taken now this long for the Treasury Department to start drafting proposed regulations, and they came out with proposed regulations very late last year, early this year. in which they proposed to not allow the 199 deduction to be taken against non-patronage sourced income.
Weber says non-patronage income includes a variety of services such as fuel sales at convenience stores, rent, and non-traditional farmer purchases and sales.
Some cooperatives have more non-patronage income and some have less non-patronage income. It really varies across the state. But in any event, if you're going to only apply the Section 199A deduction to patronage income, it certainly reduces the value of that deduction for those cooperatives and in those farmers in those cooperatives that have non-patronage income, because many cooperatives still today pass those deductions through to their farmer members.
Weber says both grain cooperatives and non-cooperatives are saying this is not the way the legislation was supposed to be applied.
We don't think the Treasury is correct in this proposed regulation. So we want, you know, everybody's working with Treasury right now to try to get them to change their mind and apply Section 199A to both types of income, patronage and non-patronage. That would simply resolve the issue at that point. So we're hopeful, yeah, that will happen, because we think that the legislation was clear. So we have been working with our congressional delegation and people in the industry have been working with Treasury Department in order to try to resolve this issue.
Right now, the Treasury Department is in the process of studying the tax rule and remains in the proposed rule stage. In news from the USDA, the deadline to get involved in the Conservation Reserve Program is tomorrow. Agricultural producers and private landowners need to make an offer of acres or schedule an appointment to do so with their local FSA office to make an offer to their local USDA service center, rather, by tomorrow. The sign-up first opened back in December and is available to producers and private landowners who are either offering acres for the first time or re-offering acres for another 10 to 15-year term in the Farm Service Agency's conservation program. Call your FSA county office today to make an appointment to sign up for the Conservation Reserve Program, says FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce. As long as you have an appointment scheduled, your CRP offer will be able to be complete in this general sign-up, even if the appointment is in the first week of March. This is the first opportunity for general sign-up since 2016, and we want to make sure interested producers and landowners take advantage of this popular conservation program. Farmers and ranchers who enroll land in CRP receive yearly rental payments. For voluntarily establishing a long-term resource-conserving plant species, such as approved grass or tree, which are called covers. CRP currently has about 22 million acres enrolled, but the fiscal cap for this year, 2020, is 24.5 million acres. Moving on now into local ag news, let's take a look at your ag weather. Currently, we have snow on the ground across mid-Illinois, but much of it melted yesterday. But with March right around the corner, does that mean we're going into next month like a lion? Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford tells us what the temperature pattern looks like heading into March and April in Illinois.
Yeah, and it looks like the first half of March is going to be that way, where we're seeing below normal temperatures. Not necessarily like midwinter type temperatures, but definitely below normal for early March. It remains to be seen what the temperatures look like for the rest of spring. The long-term outlooks for March, April, and May, as well as April, May, and June, show equal chance of above normal, below normal, and normal temperatures. We're not necessarily locked into a very cold spring. But again, some warm conditions in March, April, would be nice to really draw out some of that water in the soil. However, we also have to think about, you know, if we have a rapid transition to spring, a rapid warm-up, let's say, towards the end of March, that could very quickly melt that pretty heavy snowpack in the upper Midwest, and that could also exacerbate water conditions. So, you know, right now it's really wet. We're looking like flood outlooks. It's pretty high risk of flooding and excess water conditions. However, we're not necessarily locked into what we saw in 2019. What really matters is what happens as far as rainfall and temperature variability from now going into, you know, mid to late April.
Again, that was state climatologist Trent Ford. And as we look into the weekend forecast, temperatures will return back into the 50s similar to the way they were this past weekend. Finally, now on our Ag Community Bulletin Board, the Illinois Extension will be offering a pop-up workshop coming up here in the first few weeks of March. Developing a pop-up shop is a low-cost way to start a business while testing product ideas and developing a customer base. Pop-ups can also be a great way for Etsy merchants to make their products offline grow revenue and lead to customers in their online shop. Even existing brick-and-mortar stores can use them to expand their brand awareness. The pop-up shop workshop is designed to help artists, entrepreneurs, market managers, and community leaders learn more about this business model and how it can impact business development in rural communities, even in urban centers as well. The instructor, Pam Scalhorn, Extension Specialist in Community and Economic Development, is an authority on the creative economy and has presented on this topic at both state and national levels. Currently, she is working in cities across the state interested in developing their own creative economy. The pop-up workshop will be held on Tuesday, March 10th from 5:30 to 7 in the evening at the Montgomery County Extension Office, Hillsboro. There's no charge to attend, but registration is required. You can register online at extension.illinois.edu/cjmm or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that'll wrap it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag-related news for us, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com at our email. So for this Thursday morning, February 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.